Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My next guest is the Baltimore-based author James Magruder. Not Magruber, Magruder. His new novel follows the trials and tribulations of a group of graduate students at Yale University in the 1980s. It's called Love Slaves of Helen Hadley Hall. James Magruder is the former dramaturg at Center Stage. He's an award-winning translator, a playwright, and the author of two other novels, and he joins me in the studio. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Tom.
So I had a theme song that was almost your actual name. I came close. Magruber as opposed to Magruder.
Yeah,
so,
very close.
You know.
It's just one consonant away.
If you're getting mistaken for somebody, might as well get mistaken for Magruber because he was a genius, you know. This book is a hoot. It's a kick. It's a fun read. Although I will tell you, when you see the title Love Slaves of Helen Hadley Hall, the last thing I probably would guess it's about is a bunch of graduate students at a prestigious university like Yale. I mean, tell us about Helen Hadley and the hall that is named after her.
Helen Hadley Hall is a dorm. A graduate dorm was founded in 1958 as a place for female graduate students to study because at the time Yale College was in co-ed. So when Yale College went co-ed in 1968, they opened it to men as well. And as over time, more and more international students came. In the 80s, when I went there, it had two nicknames. One was Smellin' Badly Hall. Because there were all sorts of international odors and flavors. And then there's the F word palace. You would say it's the palace because of all of the activity. I mean, AIDS had been identified as a killer for a couple of years, but nobody knew yet how it was caused. So this was very licentious times, innocent, carefree.
Yeah. But early in the book, one of the characters refers to AIDS, which was still a sort of mysterious thing, as the gay cancer.
Right.
But it was actually during that particular year, 83, 84, that they identified a virus as the cause of it. But as you say, the way it was transmitted was still very much up in the air.
Yeah, there was the, you worried about the three H's, which is Haitian, homosexual, or hemophiliac. In April of 84, the government discovered it was a virus, and they predicted a cure within 2 years. And we know that didn't happen.
Didn't quite happen, although they're certainly a lot further along that
Absolutely.
Path than they were in 83, 84. And in that very school year, you were, in fact, a graduate student at Yale.
I did. I started the French department, and I did three semesters there and then defected to the drama school. And in a way, I've combined my 6 or 7 years of schooling at Yale into this these two magical semesters.
And the particular time that you chose, I mean, you could have set this before then, after that, why were you attracted to that period?
I think this was my first year. The people that I met at that dorm, I just loved, or I loved how foolish we all were. And I wanted to commemorate that time. It was before I discovered that I had the HIV virus. So I wanted to, again, celebrate this last moment of you could say, unsafety.
Yeah. And of course, graduate school is a very particular moment in time for people who end up in either academia or other professions. I mean, it's undergraduate school, for example, for a lot of folks can be a kind of a frivolous experimental time. Graduate school, you're supposed to start getting serious about what you're going to be when you grow up. And so it's an interesting backdrop for these many, many relationships that happen in this book.
Yes. I mean, you're supposed to get serious, but you're still 22 or 23 if you don't take any time off. And so while you get to be in this great educational institution, you're still the lowest person on the totem pole. You're trying to find mentors. You're trying to focus. And then, of course, your lower chakras can take over and suddenly you're in love. And that is just as important as, you know, DeMond's theory of the missing hero,
right,
or something like that. Or it's like
deconstructing literature one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell us about a few of the people who are residents of Helen Hadley Hall. And we should also say that the narrator is Helen Hadley herself, but she narrates from beyond the grave.
Yes. Helen Hadley, I call her, she's an ectoplasmic emanation, and she watches over everybody. There's a portrait of her in the lobby of the dorm.
And she was a real person.
She was a real person.
That real portrait is still there.
It's still there. And she picks her favorites every year. And I think this year of 83, 84, it's her favorite year. She has five chief love slaves, two men and three women. And one is Nixie Bolger, who's come back from France, and she's the queen bee. And she falls in love instantly with a stage manager at the drama school. And she's a pre-Freudian character, so she doesn't understand why. But she just barrels ahead with an amazing lack of self-consciousness that afflicts everyone else. There's Becky Engelking, who's a soprano, a dramatic soprano, which means she's even more special in her own mind, from Iowa. And she's come to sort of wipe the traces of the family farm off of her shoes. She wants to become the diva and acquire temperament. And she falls in love with Brent Fladmo, who, of course, because all male organists are always, always, always gay. She doesn't know that right away. So they all encounter their own self-delusion and follies, and they recombine. And it's, as one of my blurbers said, it's like a telenovela, just an Ivy League telenovela.
And there are types in here, and there are types that I even recognize from my years in graduate school, which were a few years before 83, 84. And as you say, you know, almost every organist I know is gay. I know very few straight choral conductors, actually. It's interesting. In my musical life, I'm used to the mm-hmm. types of Becky Engelking. I mean, I know 1,000 people like her. But these are actually based on individuals. These are not composite characters.
No. With the two exceptions of the, let's say, 30 characters, everyone is somebody that was in that dorm or was in a classroom with me or was one of my professors or was somebody I was romantically involved with. It's really, again, a celebration of that innocent, idiotic time. It's a dorm of fools is the way you could describe this book.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. And the intermingling and the cohabitations and the relationships that start and stop and sputter and, you know, get revived. I mean, that really was my experience in graduate school too. That was, and as you say, the love lives of everybody was just as important, if not more important, than everything we were studying. You're still teaching undergraduates now. Do you think graduate school and undergraduates, for that matter, are much different now 30 years hence?
I think they're having a lot less sex in the flesh. There might be more virtual stuff. But in the 80s, the drama school, Kathy Zuber, the famous costume designer, said it was love piles. It's not that way anymore. And, you know, I teach at Swarthmore, which is so progressive. I always tell them on Valentine's Day when we do sex comedy, I say, now everyone go out and get laid. And they look at me like,
as an assignment.
Well, right? As an assignment. And I say, I'm an adjunct. You can't get me fired for that.
Well, the book is a lot of fun. I appreciate your coming in and talking about it. James Magruder, his new novel is called Love Slaves of Helen Hadley Hall. He'll be talking about the book tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Atomic Books in Hamden. He'll also be at the Pratt Library on Cathedral Street in Baltimore next month. That event is on Tuesday, August 16th at 6:30, and it will include Baltimore author Jen Mikulski and the Washington, D.C.-based author Amber Sparks. More information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. That's it for us today. Coming up Friday, another edition of Health Watch with Baltimore Health Commissioner Dr. Lena Nguyen, sports with Mark Hyman, and a visit with hip-hop legend Wyclef Jean in advance of his appearance at Artscape this weekend. Hope you can join us Friday morning on Maryland Morning. Until then, for Nathan Sterner and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.